Thanks again for coming to our gospel service this afternoon. We're going to read in two parts in the one book, and we're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to break in at Isaiah chapter 6 just for a connection. Isaiah, more or less in the middle of the Bible, written 750 years before the Lord Jesus came. So Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I," that's Isaiah, "then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And with that thought in mind, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 52, please. Isaiah 52 and verse 6 says, Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eye of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, neither shall ye go out by flight. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this afternoon. Now, whenever I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of money sloshing about. But when I was in Sunday school, I wouldn't say it's the best pupil, but when I was in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher decided that it would be a good idea if all the boys in his class learned Isaiah chapter 53. Now, there was a bit of an incentive for that. The incentive was you got a pound note. Now, a pound note wouldn't buy you too much today, but that was the time that you could get 4 blackjacks for a penny. For those who know what blackjacks and fruit salads are, a pound was a big spending piece of paper in those days. So I learned Isaiah chapter 53, and I learned it off by heart. And I'll not tell you how long ago that was, but that's a wee while ago now. And it's still a very favourite chapter of mine. It talks simply about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've done Isaiah 53 on at least a couple of times last year. But I'm going to do something. I'm going to speak on chapter verse 1. And I've never spoken on it before. And I've been struck this last couple of years reading through the Bible again. And reading through the testimony of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And listening and reading what the Lord Jesus said. But I have been struck, ladies and gentlemen and younger folk, with the amount of times that the Lord Jesus asked questions. And I think it's good to ask questions. Now, when the boys were wee, you know, you maybe get the one question and you maybe kept getting asked it and all the rest of it. But that's what you do when you're growing up. That's what you do when you're learning. But Isaiah, in his beautiful book, and I don't pretend to know an awful lot about it, but Isaiah asks a very simple question. Who hath believed our report? And that's what I want to focus on this afternoon for about 10-15 minutes. Who hath believed our report? Now, we have read a lot here. And the reason we read Isaiah chapter 6 was very simple. That Isaiah was in the midst of a people. And God had told the people that they were sinners. And Isaiah agreed with that. And when King Uzziah died, Isaiah got a vision of God. Isaiah got a vision of God. It said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Those are creatures created for the throne of God. And each one of them had six wings. With two wings, they covered their face. They weren't able to look on God. With two wings, they covered their feet. They weren't able to stand in the presence of God. And with two wings, they did fly. And what did they cry one to another? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And as Isaiah saw that, he realized that he was just like the children of Israel. He realized that in Isaiah chapter 1, when it said from the sole of the foot to the hair on the top of your head, there was no soundness. They were all sin, full of sin and wickedness and putrefying sores. They had all gone out of the way. They'd all become unprofitable. And Isaiah probably would agree with that. But when Isaiah stood before this vision of God, when he stood and he saw God sitting on his throne, and he saw those angels, those seraphims circling the throne, and they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah realized that he was a sinful man. Isaiah realized that he was just like everyone else. He had nothing to boast of, nothing to claim, and here he is standing before a holy God. And he's a sinful man. Didn't you ever think of that? That one day you and I, as sinners, will stand before that same God, that same holy God, that same cry, holiness is to the Lord. Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the people of an unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he got his sins purged from off the altar. I don't know where you stand this afternoon before God. But when we think of who God is and what God is and where God is and how great God is, one day we are going to stand before him. And wouldn't it be good, ladies and gentlemen, if in that day that we stand before the holy, holy, holy God, that our sins are purged, that our sins are washed away by an altar. And here he is. God wants a message to the people. And what does God say? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah can ask in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? There was Isaiah, sinful, a man of unclean lips, dwelling in the midst of an unclean people, standing before God, nothing he could do to save himself. And he's been purged. His sins have been taken away. And he's now standing on God's side. He's now agreeing with God. And now he's bringing, ladies and gentlemen, a report to the people. Now, as I was thinking of this meeting for the last fortnight, I was thinking of the various reports that, you know, you maybe read in the papers and you find out they're false. I was thinking a long time ago, whenever I was at school, there were certain reports were sent to in the post to my mum about how Robert Gray was doing at school. Apart from the easily distracted, could do better, need to focus and all the rest of it, well, all that was probably true. But this report that Isaiah brings is an important report. It doesn't matter in the light of eternity whether we're agreeing with all the government says about vaccinations. It doesn't matter in the light of eternity whether we're agreeing with all the so-called climate crisis and all these things. Here's a report that Isaiah is bringing to this people. And he asks a very simple question. Who has believed it? Who has believed it? So what is this report? Well, Isaiah tells us that this report that he's bringing is a report with good tidings. This is what this Bible is. This is what this gospel message is. It's a message of good news. That there was Isaiah, just like you and me, standing on earth, looking up to heaven, and having a holy God there that's going to judge us for our sins. And he's saying, I'm going to bring a message of good news. What is the good news? That you can have your sins forgiven. That you can find peace with God. Not only is it the message of good news, it's a message of peace. It's a message of peace. And if the world never needs anything today, it's peace. This report is going to bring peace. This report not only is good news, not only is this report a peace, this report is publishing salvation. That you and I can have salvation. That you and I can be saved. That you and I can know a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Isaiah 53 is all about. It says he was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. Oh yes, a message of salvation. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, some people think, you know, this Bible here, well, I do believe that God's up in heaven. Isaiah, I do believe that part of your report. And I do believe, Isaiah, that God is holy. And I do believe, Isaiah, that one day we will stand before this holy, holy, holy God. I do believe that this is a message of good news. I do believe that this is a message of peace. But you know, it's not just enough to believe it. You have to trust in it. This message is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. This message is all about one who was coming. One who was coming under the law to redeem those that were under the law. The law of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that includes you, and that includes me. A message of good news, a message of peace, a message of salvation. And for those who find the truth of it, what does Isaiah say? The watchmen shall lift up their voice. With the voice together shall they sing. They will break forth into joy and sing together. This message is a message of joy. That here we are, God's in heaven, God in all his holiness. We are down here, we can't do anything to save ourselves. But there's one who can save us. There's one who died to save us. There's one who was buried to save us. And there's one who rose again and he can save us. The Bible tells me he's able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him, seeing he ever liveth. Oh, a message of good news. A message of peace. A message of salvation. A message of singing. A message of joy. It's a message of redemption. A message of salvation. And it's all found in one person. It's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And listen, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord. That's the God of eternity. That's the God on the throne. That's the holy, holy, holy God of heaven. And it says here, it pleased that holy God to bruise him. Who's the him we're talking about? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 12. He hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. I want to ask the question that Isaiah asked. Who hath believed this report? Oh yes, God's up in heaven. And isn't it wonderful that God's up in heaven? Yep, we can believe that. We can read in Isaiah chapter 1. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness. Israel has turned away. The ox knows his crib, but my people do not consider. And God says in Isaiah chapter 1, I'll just read this beautiful verse to you. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What's your opinion of your sin this afternoon? I wrote down just a few wee pointers, and with this we'll close. This report that Isaiah brings is about a sinful nation. Do you believe that? Who hath believed this report? This report that Isaiah brings talks about the holiness of God. Do you believe that? Who hath believed that God is holy? I read in Isaiah 40, and sometimes, you know, people will get a different translation. They'll water down the meaning of what the Bible says. But you know what Isaiah 40 says? The word of the Lord will stand forever. The word of the Lord shall stand forever. Do you believe that? Do you believe the word of the Lord will stand forever? Isaiah 45. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. No other God. No other way. Isaiah says, do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe what I have written in this report? That there's one God and we're going to stand before him. Isaiah goes on and talks about God being a just and a savior God. What does that mean? It means that God cannot overlook your sin. God cannot just turn a blind eye to the wrongs that you and I have done. God demands that sin must be dealt with. God is just, and yet God has provided a Savior. And the question is, do you believe that report? Who hath believed our report? Isaiah goes on and tells us that someone is coming. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt bring him forth and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Do you believe that report? Do you believe that God has come down among us? Do you believe that God sent his only Son into this world? Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Who hath believed our report? You know, I haven't spoken on it yet. I might do it someday. But Isaiah says that God looks down from heaven and wonders that there's no man. Wonders that there was no intercessor. And then he says, behold my servant. And he talks about the Lord Jesus and all his wonders and all his glory and all his majesty. Behold my servant shall deal prudently. And we have got Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. We have got the Old Testament looking forward, the New Testament looking back on a perfect life of the Lord Jesus, who was God manifest in flesh, God who could not sin. And yet the Lord Jesus comes into this world. And Isaiah says, do you believe my report? Who hath believed our report? And then we come to Isaiah 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. Do you remember those crosses? On either side, one a malefactor, and Jesus in the midst. And this was written 750 years before the Savior came. He hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many. Isaiah says, do you believe this report? That here was one that God in heaven hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God in heaven took my sin and put it upon him on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it say? He, the Lord Jesus, has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many. And why did he do that? Here's Isaiah's summary of the whole thing. That he could make intercession for the transgressors. That God in heaven is holy and righteous, and we're going to have to deal with him. We're going to have to stand before him. And here's one come down from God, gone to the cross, suffered on the cross, suffered at the hands of men. Did we read? No, read. I don't know if you picked it up. His visage was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men, wounded and bruised and spat upon on Calvary's cross. And in those hours of darkness, that Holy One made him to be sin for us, that he could be make intercession for the transgressors. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus Christ was going to be raised again, because it said he shall see the travail of his soul. Do you ever wonder what Christ suffered? Do you ever wonder what Christ thinks now? He's gone to the cross. He's been defaced and spat upon and ridiculed and mocked and slain. And Jesus Christ is raised, seated at God's right hand. And what's it say? He shall see the travail or the work of his soul and shall be satisfied. Why? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. My friends, my time is up. Isaiah says, there's one has come, one who has died for sin, one who has died for sinners, one who has died for us and was buried and rose again, and he's able to save us, able to save us from our sins, able to save us from the penalty of our sins, because he has died in our place. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How do I get saved? Is it enough to believe all that? Is it enough to say, yes, Isaiah, when you say, who hath believed our report? I believe it all, Isaiah. But you know what? There's plenty of people who have lived and died and believed the gospel, and they've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yep, they believe the gospel. They believe God and all this. But they've never realized that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. They have never come to realize that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. They have never understood that the chastisement of our sins was upon Jesus, and with his stripes we are healed. They've never come into the good of it, because they've never seen their sin. They've never understood that they're going to go into a lost eternity. They're going to go to hell in the lake of fire, go their own way, do their own thing. And there's no need, for Christ has died and was buried and rose again, that he could be make intercession for us. That's the gospel. Do you believe it? Who hath believed our report? If you believe it, You need to action it. You need to come with all your sin. Come as you are. Come to the foot of the cross and realize, yes, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. You need to understand that his soul was made an offering for my sin. You need to understand that he poured his soul out unto death for me. You need to believe that he made intercession for my sins and bore my sins on Calvary's cross. Believe. Do you believe this report? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the gospel. That's what I'm resting on. And that's what you need to rest on too. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. How wonderful that one would come and suffer and bleed and die for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. We bless thee, Father, if we believe.